God is faithful. And he's always thinking about you, always looking at you. Sometimes, though, we have seasons of life that bring us, well, for lack of better words, I guess you'd say, challenges. You ever had any challenges? Anybody? This morning? Yes. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to get discouraged or to question, to wonder what in the world God is up to. And our tendency sometimes is to lose focus, forget whose we are, and to forget the one to whom we belong, and take matters into our own hands. You ever been there? Where, well, let's see, if God's not going to fix this on my time schedule, then I guess I'll just fix it myself. Let me ask you, how'd that turn out? I don't know what your experience has been, but so far that strategy hadn't worked too good. The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen? So it's hard to wait. Sometimes it's hard to wait on the Lord. It's easier, we think, to just take matters into our own hands. And try to usurp with not even intentionality and not even sitting down and strategizing how we're going to trump God. But in taking matters into our own hands sometimes, we just remove ourselves from a position of discovering what it is that God is doing for his purposes and his glory in our lives. Now, what I've seen in people and in my own life as well is that when something happens in my life or in our lives that gets us off center, Christ-centeredness, that sometimes we have a tendency to lay down the Word of God. Sometimes the disciplines of the Christian life are neglected. And we're going to look at a passage this morning that speaks to this issue. And I hope that when we get through that you'll know how to start growing again. What do we do when we find ourselves in the desert? What do we do when we've come off the mountaintop and we're in the valley? What do we do when instead of soaring like eagles, we're scratching around with the other turkeys, trying to find an acorn here or there? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this. And he's talking about the high priestly ministry of Christ. He's talking about the ministry after the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. Or the NIV says, slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, Father, we come to you this morning as we read this passage, and I pray, Lord, that you would make it come alive and be real in our lives. And you'd help me to preach fast. Because we got to get some spaghetti. Amen? Now, let's look at this. How do I start growing again? When hard times come, here's what you do. You press into the Word of God. You get into the Word of God. You immerse yourself in God's Word, even if you don't feel like it. You don't live your life on your feelings. If you do, you're going to be like this. But if you live your life according to the truth, you can have a life kind of like this. You thought I was going to go, didn't you? No, the reality is it just goes like this instead of like this. You tracking? I mean, let's get into the real world. We live in the world. We live in this world. And sometimes our shoes come untied and we're afraid we're going to trip and all that kind of stuff and make a fool out of ourselves. But you get in the Word. When you're suffering, you don't run from God. You run to God. You don't run away from the fellowship of the church. You run into the fellowship of the church. And you say, I need help. Oh, my, that takes humility. To say, I need help. Listen, there's not a person in this room that doesn't need help. There's not a person in this room that's not going to go through some storms from time to time, and they need help. And so, when the hard times come, you press into the Word of God. And the first thing you do is you make sure of your salvation. And then you come under the teaching of the Word of God and you live the Word of God even when it doesn't make sense. Did you hear that? Sometimes it doesn't make sense for you to obey God's Word. But if you'll just say, by faith, I'm going to walk on the truth. I'm going to do what God shows me to do. And even if it doesn't make reasonable sense, if it's illogical for me to go this direction, I'm going because God said it. Now, this is not a perfect science. We're practicing Christianity. You understand that? I mean, and sometimes you're going to make a mistake. Sometimes you're going to miss God. And sometimes people who've missed the mark one time, they failed at something, they don't want to get up again. They just want to stay back there. I love John Maxwell. He says, fail forward. Fail forward. Don't fall backwards. Fail forward. And so that you can get up again and you try again. You know, the only person who doesn't ever make a mistake is a person who doesn't ever do anything. Did I do that? What am I doing? Check my battery. Let me cut this off. Let's see. Doris, you should be a sound technician, honey. Thank you so much. Sometimes we feel like we're stuck. We're just stuck. You know, we're not growing spiritually. Something has happened and our over time, little by little, like the frog in the kettle, you know, you just get stuck. An old farmer frequently described his Christian experience by saying, well, I'm not making much progress, but I'm well established. One spring when he was hauling some logs, his wagon wheels sank down to the axles in the mud, and they try as he would, digging and straining and trying to get the wagon out, wearing his horses out. Defeated, he sat on top of the logs, viewing the dismal situation. Soon his neighbor came by, who had always felt uncomfortable with the old farmer's worn-out testimony, who said, I'm well established. I'm not making much progress, but I'm well established. And the neighbor said, well, brother, I see you're not making much progress, but you must be content because you're well established, stuck in the mud. Are you stuck? Are you still growing in Christ? Are you still transforming in His image? Sometimes a Christian may be established in Christ, but he may be stuck, not very productive anymore, like the old farmer, stuck in the mud. Days and weeks and months and years can go by, which there's no maturing if we lay down the Word of God, if we run from God instead of running to God when we get into diverse trials and tribulations. And sometimes what we do is we become dependent on somebody else and their walk with God instead of walking in our own walk of God and dealing with God intimately ourselves. For example, a Christian who stops growing can become dependent upon the church to be his relationship with God. Some people have the idea that just coming to church is their relationship with God. Let me let you in on a little secret. This church is not your relationship with God. This church is established here to help you in your relationship with God, but it in itself is not your relationship with God. Nobody can walk with God for you in your place. Your pastor cannot do it. Your Sunday school teacher can't do it. Your mom and daddy can't do it. Your husband or your wife cannot be your relationship with God. So if you're stuck, then you're the one that needs to do something about it. Now, here's what happens. Sometimes when we're dependent upon somebody else, or if we're dependent on the church for our relationship with God, y'all don't unbuckle your seatbelts now, because I'm going to get in some of you postosties right here. Y'all ready? Now, here's what I've seen for the last 30-something years in church life. If something about a church that you're going to does something that offends you, or does something that, or somebody in that church hurts your feelings, or the pastor does something, either by his own stupidity or his ignorance or his neglect or whatever, that offends you, what do you do? What do people do? They run off. They go somewhere else. That's not always the answer, because let me tell you what happens. If you have a problem in this congregation where the Holy Spirit has placed you, and you get your little feelings hurt, and you run off down to some other church thinking that that issue is resolved, it's not. You take your problems with you. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not saying God doesn't move people from one congregation to another. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit adds to the body of Christ according to His will. Here's the litmus test. Is God moving you, or are your emotions moving you? Is the truth moving you, or is your comfort moving you? You be careful, because, man, I'm gonna tell you, I can't help but think of a couple that when Darcy and I were young adults were instrumental in getting us involved in their Bible study, and they were just the examples. We admired them. We played with them, we worshiped with them, we worked with them, we did a lot of things together. And over the years, as they began to prosper in the things of the world, they began to make lots of money. Then they started being puffed up and thinking that they could go into a church and by spending money and building buildings and remodeling or giving the pastor thousands of dollars for Christmas presents, things like that, that they could essentially have the kind of church that they wanted. They're not even in church today. And some people that I know that go to Las Vegas, not me, were up there gambling one time, and guess who they saw? This guy who used to try to get them to go to church, and his sons up there gambling and drinking in Las Vegas, who used to be faithful to the Lord and into the church. So don't say it can't happen to me, because it absolutely can happen to you. So when you stop growing, you need to give yourself a checkup from the heart up and see what it is you can do to start growing. Second thing, when your maturity is halted, for whatever reason, return to the milk of the Word. What is the milk of the Word? He says here, you ought to be teachers by now, but you need to go back to the milk of the Word. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Now let's think about this for a minute. Milk is for babies. Right? My grandson, David, for a long time, he's 11 months old now, if you can believe that. He had nothing but milk for a long time. Now he's getting where he don't want too much milk. He wants some potatoes. Or he wants some other solid food. And he likes to throw it. And he likes to mess with you while you're trying to feed him. You know, you get the toy and you put it on the high chair and say, "Here, David, play with this and open your mouth." You ought to see Darth trying to feed David. Oh, she's so silly. And then finally he opens his mouth and sticks it in there right quick. That's funny when it's a baby. But when it's a full-grown person that by now ought to be a teacher, and you're still trying to spoon-feed this sucker. Come on, open your mouth. Let me spoon-feed you a little truth here. By this time, you ought to be feeding yourself. You ought to be eating beefsteak, spiritually speaking. Here I'm still trying to put some pureed peas in your mouth. Babies are whiny. Babies want their needs met right now. They want it their way. Right now. And when you try to give them the meat of the word, they choke on it and they gag on it and they can't receive it. Because they're still babies. Can't take it. Now look at this word here in verse 11. It says you've become dull of hearing. In the NIV says you've become slow to learn. Well, over in chapter 6, verse 12, the same exact word is used. And it says, we do not want you to become lazy in the NIV. I don't know what the other translations say. But this word is the same word, just a different usage to help us understand more of what he's saying. Don't be lazy. You know, if there's anything that Christians suffer with in America, it's laziness. Because, oh, God, I don't have a microphone on. Because when we've got so many other distractions, we've got all these sources of entertainment that we can just, you know, just push the button and there you go. You got a rugby game on. Y'all all watch rugby, don't you? Oh, no, y'all don't watch. Or you've got a baseball game on. You know, you just push the button. And while in your mind you say, you know, I haven't had a quiet time today. And I ought to go ahead and get my Bible out and read the Word a little while and pray and intercede for my brothers and sisters in Christ or pray for my neighbors. Or I need to take these matters in my life before the Lord. And you walk by the television and it's just like a magnet. It just draws you and you get over and you click that remote. And that thing comes on, and first thing you know, you're immersed in the entertainment, and then you go through that night, through that day, and you've not spent time in the Word, and you've not sought the Lord, and first thing you know, it's 2 days, and in 3 days, and in 4 days, and in 5 days. First thing you know, you're just discontent, frustrated, discouraged. Why? Because your fellowship with the Lord is weak. And you're dependent. You're becoming more and more dependent on somebody else. The milk of the word refers to the elementary truths about God. God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. God sent his son. He was born in Bethlehem. His life, his teaching, his death, burial, and resurrection. All these are the basics of Christianity. We like to hear them. We love the stories, the elementary stories of the Word of God. That's work that is already accomplished. You know what milk is? Milk is pre-digested food. Where's milk come from? A brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk. What happens if you don't feed that cow? She don't get milk. So milk has got to be somehow in that cow pre-digested food.
There's an application there. You can't live tomorrow on yesterday's milk or manna, however you want to put it. God told the children of Israel when they were running around in the wilderness and disobeying him and not believing him, he says, listen, I'm going to give you enough manna for each day. You go out there and gather one day's worth of manna, except on the Sabbath you can gather two. A lot of Christians today have stopped growing because they're trying to live tomorrow on yesterday's meal. And the way you start growing again is you press into the Word of God. You go back to the milk of the Word, but you don't stay in the milk of the Word. Your desire ought to be ever increasingly transformed into the image of Christ. Once we've heard and received the gospel, then we start growing. We start growing. Now, my experience was that I didn't grow for 5 years after I became a Christian. Now, I didn't know sick and from come here for 5 or 6 years. And so I struggled and struggled with my relationship with God. And guess what? I'm still struggling with my relationship with God. Because no matter how much you learn, there's always more to learn. Amen? But we grow in the Christian life as we allow Him to accomplish His Word through us. The Bible says, don't just be hearers of the Word of God, but be ye doers of the Word of God. May I suggest to you that the Word of God produces maturity? The third thing we want to look at. What does the Word of God do to produce maturity? Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, watch the words there, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now watch this. The Word of God equips us for daily life. As we grow in the Word, as we exercise our spiritual senses, we develop spiritual discernment. Little children lack discernment. My little grandson crawls around on the floor, and whatever he picks up, he puts it in his mouth. And he chews on it. And sometimes we have to get whatever he puts in his mouth out of his mouth so that he doesn't choke himself to death. An immature believer, listen to me, a non-growing Christian, a baby in Christ, is apt to believe anything. You got to be careful whose message you're listening to. Don't just put anything in your mouth. God has placed other Christians in the church to disciple you and to equip you and to teach you the Word of God so that you won't be blown around by every wind of doctrine and be confused as a termite in a yo-yo, so to speak. So the Word of God equips you to live your daily life. It gives you discernment. Secondly, it gives you discernment. We feed on the Word of God, and as we apply it in our daily life, our spiritual senses are amplified as we exercise them. Now, I already know that you're going to remember 10% of what I say this morning. Only 10%. Y'all pay me a lot of money just to get 10%. Do you know that? I mean, think about it. You pay me a full salary so that you can come in here and sit on the pew and get only 10%. If that's all, if this is all you get, you'll never grow as a Christian. I'm here to spur you on. I'm here to disciple you. I'm here to teach you and to equip you to get it on your own. Because 30% of what you say and what you write down, you'll get. And then 60%, listen, of what you do, you'll get. So 10 plus 30 is 40, 40 plus 60 is 100. Would you rather have 100% Christian life or a 10% or 30%, 40%? You decide how much you want to be like Christ. It's your decision. It's not mine. I can give you the information. I can show you. I can help you. But I can't, again, be your discernment, and I can't be your daily life for you. The ability to discern good and evil is the result of Christian maturity. You know, I'm amazed what Christians do. Christians do some of the silliest things. And I'll let you fill in the blank on what that is, because I got to get on with this thing. What I want to encourage you to do is to stay in the Word, to go beyond the milk. Get out of the shallow water. Get in the deep water. This guy told a story about his daughter who taught swimming lessons in their pool. And she always had this line that separated the deep end of the pool from the shallow end. Y'all have seen those, you know, those ropes have the little floaty things on there. And this helped her students know the safe place to be. Now, after a few weeks of lessons, then the children would come, and she knew they were ready to swim in the deeper level. And she would take the line out. To acclimate them to this, she would take the line out, and then they would make some nervous comments like this one. "Miss Tawny, please put the line back in the pool. The deep is, see, what does he say? The deep water is getting into the shallow water." Yeah, it's kind of like that baby. He gets that first bite of meat. You can't just swallow it. You got to chew on it a little bit. You got to mull over it. You got to bite on it. You got to make sure that you're hearing God. And you got to be faithful to keep on nourishing your relationship with God, lest you become lazy or dull of hearing. It's impossible to stand still in the Christian life. We either go forward and claim God's blessing, or we go backward and wander aimlessly. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying that's happening to these Christians. Don't be like your fathers who wandered around in the wilderness for 45 years and then died in the wilderness. Go on with God. One preacher put it this way. Most Christians are betweeners. They are between Egypt and Canaan. Out of the place of danger, but not yet into the place of rich inheritance and rest. They're between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, caught in the middle. Saved? Maybe. Probably. A lot of people are saved, but not yet enjoying the newness of resurrection life. So you need to go past the milk of the Word into the meat of the Word so that you may grow thereby and prove yourselves to be children of God. I guess one of the most disconcerting things about the lack of maturity in Christians is the fact that it's hard. And I know this by experience. I know this by experience. It's hard to have peace of mind. It's hard to have assurance of your salvation if you stop growing. Because sooner or later, it's going to come back to bite you. If you become hard of hearing, spiritually speaking, then you can find yourself lacking, frustrated, discouraged. So what do? You press into the Word of God. You press into the church. You press into God's people. You press into prayer. You press into ministry. You press into everything and everything that you've been taught to do as a Christian. It's not enough just to accumulate information and to talk about how much you know about the Bible. You know what? Some of the most immature people that I've known are the ones that can tell you the most about the Bible. True statement. People that can regurgitate passages and tell you the references and all that sometimes are the most immature. And I think the difference is simply this. Don't just go to the Bible for information. Go to the Bible for transformation. Look at yourself. Examine your own life before God every day and see whether or not you're being transformed in the faith. Hebrews is a wonderful book. It's going to go on. It says, let's go on to maturity, beginning in verse 6, going on forward. It's going to challenge you to the very depth of your soul to start growing again as a Christian. And I want to urge you and beseech you to please don't stop growing. And if you stop growing, do something about it. And only you can do that. Are you serving God in a meaningful way? Are you bearing fruit for the kingdom of God? Are you bearing witness to the lost? Are you discipling some believer? Are you doing acts of love and kindness for the name and the glory of Christ? Are you staying in the Word? Is your life characterized by a consistent prayer and dependence upon God and not on man? Examine yourselves today, my brother, and see whether or not you are saved. See whether or not you are just religious, or whether you're in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me give you seven things real quick, right fast. These aren't in your outline. Here's what you need to grow in Christ. Daily food. You know what that is? The Word of God. Study the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Secondly, fresh air. That comes through prayer. Prayer is the oxygen of the soul. And then thirdly, regular exercise. Now what's that? You put into practice what God tells you in His Word. Don't say, oh, I learned something new today. Well, practice it. Do it. Do the Word of God. And then adequate rest, relying on God at all times. When the storms of life come, you don't run to somebody. You run to God, and you rely upon God in simple faith. And number five, clean surroundings. Clean surroundings. Just avoiding evil company and whatever will weaken you spiritually. The entertainment that you indulge in, does it weaken you or strengthen you in your relationship with God? The books you read, the newspapers you read, the news you listen to, the places you go, the things you do, are they weakening you or strengthening you? See, I'm not just picking on television. What about your iPod? And all the things you can do on the computer. All that time that you spend there, is it strengthening you in Christ or is it weakening you in Christ? And then number six, loving care. Be a part of a church where you benefit from the teaching and the fellowship of the church. And then number seven, and lastly, periodic checkups. You go to the doctor to get checkups, right? Regularly examine your spiritual health as well, and you'll be glad you did.